comes to live in us, Master and friend. Yes, Jesus, name of all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word. And Lord God, do be with us today. Be with us as we learn from Kevin's message today. Bless his heart and bless his message as he presents it to us today. We love you and we need you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, today's sermon's on spiritual growth. And I chose this topic because at many times I don't feel my spiritual growth is what it should be. And I don't know if any of you have ever felt that way, but I have. And too often my thoughts are directed at work, exercise, and just relaxing. Doing my job is like being in school in that I have to learn new concepts all the time and apply those to the project I'm working on. I often think I will ponder God's word after I get my work done for the day. But when that time comes, I'm mentally tired, I don't want to read, I just want to relax, watch TV, and zone out. I guess you can say, also, I still dabble in the world. So my questions I ask are, what does it mean to grow spiritually? What kind of change will take place because of it? And what can we do with God's help to improve it? Okay, first question, what does it mean to grow spiritually? Well, God's will for every believer in spiritual is spiritual maturity. He wants us to grow up. Paul says in Ephesians 4:14, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and every cunning and craftfulness of people and their deceitful scheming. So we know that part of spiritual growth is that we grow up, we mature as Christians, and that is extremely important because it allows us to have discernment and just helps us with our knowledge and our just everything, actually. Okay, think about how Jesus was completely aware of sinful nature of mankind. He was aware of the Pharisees. He was aware of their hidden agendas. He knew how to reach people with truth and wisdom. But this kind of spiritual growth just doesn't happen by accident. Spiritual growth is intentional. It requires commitment and effort to grow. Just make a sincere decision to make an effort to grow, and with the help of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, it will happen. Ephesians 2:12-13 says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation in fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Okay, so what kind of change will take place because of spiritual growth? Well, 2 Peter says in chapter 1, 5 through 8, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they will keep from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we can see from 2 Peter that increased spiritual growth will result in a change in us, though we may be able to make changes in our own, on our own, through sheer willpower. Real profound, lasting change is achieved through godly, inspired change. So how many of us have tried to make changes on our own, but what a lot of times happen? We fail. And it's not godly change, it's worldly change. So in other words, spiritual growth, the Holy Spirit will help us change. Through spiritual growth, the Holy Spirit will help us change. This kind of change results in godly wisdom-based change. And that's what we want. We want to be able to, when we go out and meet people and just talk, we want, you know, people, we want to have that godly wisdom. So Colossians 1:9-10 says, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to talk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Note how we are filled with the knowledge of God's will. That's very important. By listening to God, the more we are in the Word, the more we hear God when we pray. So I once was reading an article about someone who asked Mother Teresa, "How do you pray?" And she replied, "I listen." And I thought about that. I listen? Well, yeah, because she reads God's Word, and that's listening. And so it's important that we stay in the Word and that we listen, not just read it, which I'll hit on again. Say, so all scripture is breathed out by God. This is 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Now, how many times have we all heard that one? Quite often. Okay, these two lines are packed with godly wisdom, just what we need for real change and spiritual growth. By focusing on scripture, we grow spiritually in a way that glorifies our God. Okay, now what was that? For training in righteousness. Righteousness comes from godly spiritual growth. And isn't that what we're all striving to be, is righteous? Now, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, "Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation." The phrase that I stuck out in my mind was, "Long for pure spiritual milk." As we grow in the Spirit, we should be hungry for more. We should be seeking God's knowledge, waiting to do His will, wanting to do His will. Regardless of our spiritual growth, we should always be hungry. And I was reading a good article that said that if you're not hungry for God's word, then you need to ask yourself what's going on. And I know so many of you are hungry for it because you have these questions all the time that you're asking Pastor Bill. And so that is showing that, you know, we want to know more. We're hungry for it. Okay. Matthew 5:6 says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." So we need to ask ourselves, do we hunger for righteousness? Do we hunger for spiritual growth? And how do we create a hunger and thirst for righteousness? Maybe this is a question for Wednesday's Bible study, if anyone wants to ask it. I'm sure Bill would love to answer that one. And spiritual growth is one thing each of us needs, regardless of our present level of spiritual maturity. If you don't commit to spiritual growth, even the most religious-sounding goals will be meaningless. For example, you might say, "Well, I read the Bible daily." But, you know, there are times when I read it and I'll say, "Hey, what did I just read?" You know, and so when we're reading the Bible, we really need to make an effort to focus on what's being said and just think about it, right? We need to We need to meditate on God's word, not just read it and move on. And also, you might say, oh, I go to church each Sunday, but then I won't think about God for the rest of the week until the following Sunday. Okay, these are examples of things that we need to do, but if we, in terms of reading the Bible and going to church, it's important. But if that's all we do, this isn't spiritual growth. Okay, through both of these are part of our strategy for growth. But again, it's not spiritual growth if you don't put more of your life into what you're doing with God. Real spiritual growth not only changes our habits, it changes our personality. It transforms us into the people God takes pleasure in. Okay, so question number three is, what can we do with God's help to improve our spiritual growth? So I'm going to be looking at four elements of spiritual growth that was done by Warren Camp's Purpose Driven Church. Now, I don't know if I can't really recommend it because Bill says there are parts about it that are good and parts that are not good. But this part is good. Okay, so the four things we can do is, one is knowledge, two is perspective, three is conviction, four is skill, and the fifth one is character. So let's start with knowledge. We gain knowledge from reading the Bible, from conversing with fellow Christians, don't we? But as mentioned before, reading in and of itself is not enough. We need to meditate on the words just read. Joshua 1:8 says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make yourself prosperous, and then you will have good success. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is an excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Meditate on the things that are nobler, pure, and lovelier. This is the New Living Testament's version of what I just read from Philippians. Meditate on the things that are nobler, pure, and lovelier, and watch the outcome. Okay. I need to slow down, or we're going to be done in 5 more minutes. Okay, perspective. Perspective is primarily an aspect of point view, a viewpoint or vantage point. The higher up the tree you get, the further you can see. We must learn to view things from God's vantage point, not ours. This requires the promise of the Holy Spirit that dwells in you as a child of God. The larger frame of reference allows you to see how things are interrelated. Spiritual discernment allows you to make correct comparisons concerning importance and priority. Throughout the Bible, the terms understanding, wisdom, and discernment are used to describe how we gain perspective through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Quenching, denying, or ignoring that spirit results in what Bible terms blindness, hardness of heart, and a dull outward appearance. Knowledge tells us only what has happened. Perspective tells us why. We gain perspective only if we are intentionally trained with spiritual discipline. You can spend your entire life gaining knowledge, but will have no understanding if you avoid exercising spiritual discernment / perspective. With all the false teachings in the world, it's important we have spiritual discernment, recognizing truth from spiritual knowledge and discernment. Stick with nothing but the truth. Think of the bank tellers. Does everybody know how they are trained to detect forgery? You know, money that's not printed by the U.S. government? They spend all their time looking at the real thing. They spend all their time studying what is, right? What it, you know, what the bills look like. They don't look at forged bills. They look at only the real bills, because that is their truth. That's how they understand when they see a false, you know, bill, one that's not printed by them. And so, the same thing, we need to study God's truth. That way, when you talk to people that come from different, you know, churches that have different philosophies and different teachings, you might say, just doesn't jive with what I know to be the truth. And that's discernment. And so it's important that we always study God's word and not look at crazy religious people, religious churches that just have it wrong. Hebrews 5:11-14. We have much to say about this, but it's hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. And so that's what we need to do. We just need to get to the point where, if we're not, that we're taking solid food. We're learning in depth what God wants for us. And that way we can discern good from evil. Hebrews 5:14 tells us that solid food is for the spiritually mature only because they have exercised their spiritual senses enough to absorb it. Spiritual perspective will do the following, but not limited to, for you. So spiritual perspective gives you conviction. Conviction, Howard Hendricks defines conviction as a belief. He says this: a belief is something you will argue about. A conviction is something you will die for. So that's how he defines conviction. Discernment. Spiritual discernment is a part of godly wisdom. Understand and develop a deeper love for God, better resist temptation, mature through trials. Victory without risk is hollow. Jesus' life is dominated by his convictions. He was sent to do his Father's will, to gain insight into the convictions that Jesus held. Study all the time, he uses the phrase, "I must." A church without strong convictions will never attract the level of commitment that Jesus deserves. We must have intense convictions that the kingdom of God is the greatest cause of all. Vance Havner would say, Jesus demands greater allegiance than any dictator ever lived. The difference is, he has a right to it. Okay, I mentioned skill. Okay, what is skill? Skill is the ability to do something with ease and accuracy. We don't develop skill by listening, but by doing. In our Christian life, there are skills we must develop in order to mature. To name a few, Bible study, ministry, witnessing, relations, and others. And we have a lot of, you know, a good chunk of our church, we participates in the Bible studies, just does things for the church, right? We have our worship team, we have Susan, who helps, you know, with the church in the morning, every Sunday morning. She's here bright and early and does the sweeping. Patrick blows the leaves. Cindy makes things for the church, good things, by the way. I mean, most of the church, we all participate, and that's important. That's part of skill development. And that's part of developing, just developing our maturity, our spiritual maturity. Character, okay? What is character? Characters, Christ-like character is the ultimate goal of all of us, isn't it? This is the point of spiritual growth or maturity. From Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, we know eternal reward in heaven will be based on the character we develop and demonstrate here on earth. This means the objective of our teaching must be to change lives, not just provide information. Titus 2 has all kinds of character building devices. Character isn't built in the classroom. It's built in the circumstance of life. We know that God uses circumstance to help us test and build our character. How many people have felt that? Right? Things that happen in our life. Good things, bad things. How do we respond to them? You know, you go out and you're on a sports team. How do you respond to losing? How do you respond to winning? That's all character building. Someone once said to me, he said, sports don't develop character, they reveal character. But in our case, if we're using it to grow spiritually, it builds character. And so everything we do can be character building in some sense. Okay. God produces the fruit of the Spirit by putting us in difficult circumstances. How many people have felt that? I know you have, Steve. And so, okay, God does put us in difficult circumstances at times, but how we respond is how we, you know, is a sign of our spiritual growth. And so we want to, you know, continue doing everything we can to improve that. So we must trust in God. The more peace we have, that will give us more peace during difficult times. Trusting in the Lord. Oh, I said this was going to be quick. Okay, godly character is developed from knowledge, perspective, conviction, and the skills needed to handle difficult situations. Or we can say godly character is a product of spiritual growth. So in conclusion, the bottom line is Jesus loves us. He wants us to trust and obey, and this is timely obedience. You know, if he calls you to do something, don't put it off, do it. Jesus commands us to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbors as yourself, as the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So as we strive in God's strength to keep these commandments, we grow spiritually and we are made fit to serve him. But the important thing is, without faith, it's impossible to please God. We can only do this with God's help and guidance. In other words, we really have to let go of our lives and turn it over to Jesus. And without that, I don't think we will ever reach the spiritual growth that we need. Okay. That's good. Yeah, you're getting out early today.
Well, I got another song. Want to do that?
Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah. Oh, I was going to let me just pray.
Okay.
So, Father, this was a quick lesson on spiritual growth. I just pray for myself, even that, as I go through the days, that I listen to what I just said, and not one of these persons that says, do what I do, not what I say. Do what I say, not what I do. And I just pray that all of us, as we go out, will keep that in mind. I just really feel our church has a lot, so much of that in it already, but it's good to go over. It's good to just pass this word along and hope that it helps people. And I just ask that as we go through the day, that we do keep ourselves focused on you in just little ways, even. Just, you know, something comes up, we just say, thank you, Lord, or Father, I need your help. It just helps in every way that we can imagine. And I just just ask that we do that. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
So let's stand for our closing song, if you'd like. Lord God of wonders, God of this universe, please bless us this week. Bless our hearts and help us find that path to be closer to you. Help us find that righteousness, Lord. Help us change our lives so that we can have a regimented and process that we can follow you and learn about you and read about you when we're strong and when we have that energy. And we have that will. Thank you, Lord, so much for being with us today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.